Nice to be around folks that aren't afraid to shake somebody's hand. You know, it's ridiculous what's going on, as we all know, and the foolishness is abounding. So it's good to be here tonight. Appreciate it ever so much more. It's just a blessing. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen over the years, I was talking to some other people about this recently, about the idea that folks don't stay, they don't stand, they don't stick. Where is it that you go when you leave Christ? What is there? I don't know about, and it must be different for me, because when I found Jesus Christ, I found life. I found a reality I've been looking for. It's like that song that says, I thirsted for a draught from some cool spring, and when I found Jesus Christ, I satisfied. He just fixes it. And I haven't thought for 15 seconds in my life about going away from Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form. I just try to keep getting farther in. I mean, what I've found out is that you can't tap the depths of God. You can never get to the end of Him. God doesn't go just so far and that's it. The more you get into the Lord, the more you're in with Him, the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you know of Him, the more there is to know, the more there is to do, and the greater it becomes and the more wonderful it gets. It's fascinating. It blows my mind. There's nothing you can, there's no regimen that you can do that you can match that with. There's none. You know, doctors that study the physical body, of course, everybody's become a specialist now because we found out it got so much more complicated than we thought it was. And now they're finding out new things and other things, and they're discovering things in the brain and how it works, etc. They just keep when they get better tools, they find out more and more and more and more. But they never come to the conclusion. They never get there. That's why they practice medicine, because they're not perfect yet. They're still practicing. And we have something in Christ that is more fascinating than anything this world has to offer. And you look at Jesus Christ, and it seems awfully simple, and it is. And I'm going to talk to you about that tonight. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. But the simplicity, I don't want you to think that the simplicity of Christ means that there's not a very great completeness and depth in Him. But it's His simplicity that's so amazing. What I've learned, God knows us. He knows what He's working with. Have you ever sat down and analyzed yourself a little bit and tried to figure out how really intelligent, bright, and capable you are? You know, you can come to the end of yourself pretty quick. Amen. You can find out all about it real fast. Somebody sit down with you and ask you about 15 or 20 questions if they're smart, and they'll tap you pretty good. It's a strange thing, but the Lord knows who He's dealing with. So He doesn't make this very complicated. It is fascinating. It says here in chapter 11, He says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Paul's a little sarcastic there. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Father, help us tonight. I'm going to try to say something about this, but I know who I am, Father, and you surely do. So, God, if these folks are going to get anything out of this meeting tonight, it's going to have to be your fault. So I pray for your grace, mercy, and kindness towards us now, and appreciate the fact that we can be here. It is a blessing, again, to be with your people. And thank you for this church and their testimony and for their faithfulness. And I appreciate this kind pastor, Father, and help us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says there, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted." And it's the mind that matters. It's how you think about things that matters. "From the simplicity that's in Christ." Now, when you got saved, you got in. You didn't know how far in you were when you got saved. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I was just happy to keep from going to hell. I thought, that's wonderful. I'm settled. I'm fine. I'm going to heaven when I leave this world. Hallelujah. That's great. And then somebody put a Bible in my hands and said, read this. And I said, wonderful. I've always wanted to read the Bible. And I started reading the Bible and I thought, there's a lot of stuff in here. You know, you give somebody a Bible, they look at it, there's a lot of pages there. And there's no pictures. And outlines. And there's, how do you know these things? You just spend some time at it, amen? And after a while, it starts to make sense. Then you learn about the virgin birth. You learn about that Christ is God manifest in the flesh, that he was man and God at the same time. You understand what God was doing with him. You begin to understand who he is. Then you start dealing with spiritual things. You start finding out the Holy Spirit's about and how this works. And over here and over there, you think, man, this is getting complicated. And then somebody comes along and starts teaching you eschatology, end times, and trying to figure out how many toes the Antichrist has on his left foot and all that sort of thing, and whether they're all, how old he is and where he comes from. You know, really? But you come back after a while to the simplicity. And you realize the fact that when you first get saved, you don't want to mess this up. Did you ever notice that? I mean, I didn't want to do anything wrong. Because when you hang around with God, who's perfect, holy, just, righteous, true, pure, I mean, you don't want to mess that up. And you get the impression that God is, he's got a certain way of things, and he's kind of sitting there, you know, he's kind of got this kind of going on. You know, he's kind of giving you the old, I don't think so. Yeah, you get that impression. But it's not like that. God loves you. And it's not that he loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. He just loves you. And all this fear and doubt about who God is, and you mess up, and you don't do this, and you should do that, and you didn't take care of that, and this didn't work right, and all that sort of thing. And you think, oh my, I'm going to go have to repent and get this right, and so on and so forth. And you probably should, but the thing is, you're not going anywhere. You're still there. He's still got you. You're still in the body. You're still with him. He's still your God. He's not going to drop you. He's not throwing you away. You're in. The Holy Spirit's there. You got the truth. What fascinated me after I got saved was that when I read the Bible, I could understand it. I thought, well, that's pretty fascinating. I never could before. I picked it up a few times, and of course, you always turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 or someplace like that, or you get into Genesis 5 or some other deep place. And you're thinking, this? What's this about? Or you turn to number 7 and you start reading there. Really? What is this all about? And if you all don't know what I'm talking about, then you're not reading your Bible like you should. And all that sort of thing. But when you get saved, you start reading it. It's fascinating. Then you hear preachers. Now, my first round of Christianity was in the South. And down there, the preaching is that you're never, ever good enough. You just never get it. You're not going to make it. You're a lousy good for nothing, so and so. And why do we keep you around anyway? Now, what you want to do is you want to get this and this and this and do this and this and that and that and this and this. And I listened to that for a while, but I was reading my Bible at the same time, and I thought, you know, it's not like that in there. I'm in. I really can't mess this up. I mean, and then I began to understand spiritual things and realized the fact that God doesn't need anything from me. You know, when you read the promises of God, you get the impression that he doesn't really worry about what you give him. It's more like what he's doing for you. You think, well, that's going to make you lazy. Not if you understand it right. It'll get you excited. The Lord gives liberty. And if you've ever understood liberty in Christ, I mean, you'll never do anything. You won't go anywhere. How would you compare liberty in Christ with anything this world has to offer you? If I were a billionaire, I wouldn't have the liberty I have in Christ. I couldn't buy it. It's amazing how that works. But it's not complicated. The Lord doesn't hope that you get it all figured out. He's not waiting for you to have it all nailed down and everything just like it's supposed to be. He just wants you to walk with Him. I preached this here, but if you remember in John chapter 17, the Lord says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Eternal life is about knowing God? He saved me so I could know Him? He did all that just to bring me to where I could know Him? You kidding me? Why would He care if I knew Him or not? It's not going to add anything to Him if I have a relationship with Him. What's He going to gain or lose from me? Nothing. You can't add to God. You can't take anything from Him. He's complete in Himself, always has been. Why did He want me? And I'll be honest with you, folks. That's been a mystery to me, but a fascinating mystery to me for years. That He would care to have me around. He's really desperate. He's in deep trouble. What is that about? But that's how simple our relationship is. It's not complicated. The simplicity that's in Christ is amazing. You became a new creature. How many of you ever met that creature? You haven't. What is it? Yeah, exactly. If I had five of you come up here and explain to me what the new creature is, you wouldn't be able to do it. You don't know what it is. Half the time you might have an idea. Well, it's this and me and that and me and this. I'll be honest with you, I don't really understand it. But you're supposed to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you grow in grace? Well, you get more of it, right? How do you get more grace? Isn't that a strange thing? And God gives us grace. We have grace. And we walk with Him by grace and so on and so forth. And we live in life by grace, etc. I've told folks, I said, when you get married, you'll learn about grace. Because you're supposed to have grace with your spouse. And here's the hard part. You're supposed to have grace with your children. Okay. We'll try to work that out. But grace is such an abundant, glorious thing that God does in our lives, that it's God working in our lives, that this thing is all about Him. That's fascinating. All my Christianity rests on Christ. It's all about Him. Who He is, what He is, how He works in me. And, you know, you read the Bible, you get the impression God doesn't think that much of us. In fact, He might have a little bit of a negative perception of who we are and what we are. But you know, He calls us saints. Seriously? That was quite a shocker to come out of the Catholic Church and find to the saints that be in... What did that say? They're saints? What in the world is He talking about? Well, we talk about only a sinner saved by grace, but you're not a sinner. You're a saint. You've got to be kidding me. When did that happen? The day you got saved. Amen. You didn't do anything to make yourself a saint. And looking around, now, could you see us come in here? Well, St. Kelly, how are you today? What kind of church is this? It's a little weird, isn't it? We call brothers, sisters, so on and so forth, but we should be calling each other saint. No, don't start that. But that's how God looks at it. It's a wild thing. When you get saved, do you realize the fact that you're going to heaven no matter what you do? And you come to a Baptist church from a Catholic service or from a Catholic background, and you walk into these places, and everybody's talking, and they're carrying on, and they're just dinging around in the sanctuary. They're laughing. Really? They don't have to kneel and walk around and be careful and curse themselves regularly. It's just, here they are. Well, I was in the first went to a Baptist church, and these people are just talking. and acting normal? I said, what in the world is this? How irreligious are these people? Very, thankfully. I said, I couldn't get to like this, I think. And then when I became a Baptist, of course, it was worse. There's no ritual. I had a guy one time, a friend of mine, he says, well, I got to figure out how to structure the church and make the church run and so on and so forth. And so he began to study the Bible. I said, when you find out, let me know. So after about 6 months or something, I said, so how's that study coming? He said, what's that? On how the church is supposed to be that you're going to find out in the book of Acts. He said, I don't know. I never could find out. Yeah, there's nothing that tells you how to do it. For all practical purposes, we just have everybody preach a 10-minute sermon every Sunday. Amen? Wouldn't you ladies like that? You're not pastoring, so you can talk, right? Wouldn't that stretch it a little bit? No, it wouldn't, because we're all in the body. We're all saved. We all have something to say. We could do it that way. We wear tie and coat and so forth because culturally that's how I like to do it, et cetera, but it's not necessary. Isn't that weird? You know, I've been to churches where basically the idea was if you ladies didn't show up in a dress, well, that was wicked. Where does it say that? Doesn't say in the New Testament? No. It's a different thing. And I may have just spoken blasphemy, but I don't think I did. And the thing is that nothing in there says that a guy has to wear a coat and tie. Now, I wear them all the time. But we don't have to, there's no rigid way of being. It's simple. You know, love is a simple thing. Did you ever notice that? It's very uncomplicated. You love someone, you love them. Well, what if they're this, any other thing? Doesn't change the way I feel about them. It's not the object of love that matters, it's the source. And all that is God and who He is and what He is. In us, it's simple. Now, God's been taking care of us far better than I deserve. Now, I say that, and I said that on purpose that way. Because if you ever get to the place where you think you deserve what God does for you, that's what you should repent of. He doesn't bless us because we deserve it. He does it because of who He is. I mean, He's just been blessing us left and right where we live. And He's been doing that for several years now. And I think it all started about the time I began to trust Him for things. When I began to realize it wasn't my fault. The way things worked, it was His. Because that's a lot simpler. Do you ever catch yourself at the point where you're trying to make sure God does what He's supposed to do so you start maneuvering and manipulating and trying to figure out what you can do to make sure God does what He's supposed to do and all that sort of thing? You ever do that and not have it happen like you should? Wait a minute. I told you this and I did this and that and the other thing and you didn't do this. God says, since when are you in control? You don't tell me what to do, Bubba. I'll take care of you in spite of you. You'll never deserve what I do for you. And you'll never understand it until you just relax and let me do it. Simple. Now, it says in here that the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. And you look at that, and Paul says that, I don't want that to happen to you. Well, the devil's busy. And he's trying to mess with us, isn't he? But he's not making us sick and ill and all that sort of thing. He's trying to bring us away from where God wants us. And it's subtle. He's trying to bring us to the place where we no longer depend upon God, but we look for something better. We think there's something better. You know, this modern contemporary Christianity is where they go when they, well, we don't have any doctrine. Well, whoopee-doo. Excuse me. Bunch of lunatics. You think you can believe what you want to believe when you want to believe it and everything's fine? There's a lot of truth in that, but not that kind of truth. And it's not that. God bases his relationship with us on what we believe. And you do have to believe the truth, amen? It makes it a lot easier. And like I said this morning, the truth is what makes the difference in how we understand things and what's going on. Without the truth, you don't get anywhere. That's why. Why do you think there's all these new versions out? What is that about? You think we need somebody to make it right and figure it all out so to tell us what it's supposed to say? Or and there's amazing how many people, how many of these guys don't even believe the book they translated. Right. What you talk to somebody who's got, I guess the latest thing is the ESV. Used to be the NIV. And you ask people with the NIV, you say, so is that the words of God? Do you have the words of God? Can you believe everything in there? Well, of course not. I said, then why do you have it? Well, you can't believe any Bible. Help your sweet self. I don't think I can live that way. I've studied the Greek and Hebrew. You know what it did for me? Nothing. I got good marks. But I wasn't any closer to God. It didn't do a thing for me. All I did was learn how to argue with people. And I don't even want to do that. If you come to me and you say, well, the Greek says, I said, help your sweet self. How do you know that? Well, the original. I said, you don't have. You never had. Have you ever seen what God does with the original in the Bible? Well, the first one, Jeremiah, they cut that up and burned it. So God brought out another one. Double inspiration. Had a second one and added words to it. So the second time he did it, it was better than the first time. Had Jeremiah write down something, send it to Israel. Send it to the people in Babylon. And he told the guy, when you get done with it, wrap it around a rock and throw it in the water. Really? Yeah. Throw away the original. But later on, somebody's going to want this so they can figure out what God's trying to say. No, they don't need that. They've got God. The Bible says his words are settled in heaven. He didn't say they were settled in some particular place down here that we could find them. He brings them to us as we need them. And now it's the King James Bible, amen? Bingo. Now, if you believe it, that's simple. Very uncomplicated. Could you see coming to church and your pastor gets up there and says, I studied hard this week, and I've got 15 new Greek words for you to understand, so we can understand the Bible. How long would you stay here? I'd be out the door about that time. That's too complicated. That's not God. And isn't it interesting that the language of this age is English? Would you have known that 2,000 years ago? There wasn't any English around. How could you have figured that out? And it's quite fascinating how that works. Anyway, what the devil's trying to do is dissuade you from the simplicity of Christ. Now, this is what happened. When Eve believed the devil over God, she lost her place. Got tossed out of the garden. He took them, he got them away from their place. Now, I'm saved, and I know I have a purpose in Christ somehow. And I know I have a place I'm supposed to be. Everybody's got to be somewhere, don't you? You ever notice that? How many of you are nowhere? Hard to get there, isn't it? Everybody's got to be somewhere. Well, don't you think God cares where you are? And don't you think he has a place for you? I mean, if God went to all the trouble to make the earth and then a garden and then make Adam and Eve and put them in it, and he did all that effort, went all that, well, it wasn't a lot of strain for him, but he did it, don't you think that's where he wanted them for a reason? So the devil comes along and she gets real smart and figures out there's got to be something better, and she gets tossed out of the garden. And now what do you do? And God says, you're not getting back in either. lost their place. I'd hate to have to do that. One of the most difficult things in life is discovering the will of God and being where God wants you. Now, it's not that difficult if you let God lead you, but we make it complicated because we try to figure it out. And God will make sure you're there. We're in northern New Hampshire. When we moved in, it was 5 degrees below zero. It was the coldest day that I've been in for a long time. Snow everywhere. And it wasn't melting. It doesn't melt at 5 below. A little house. Moved everything in there, so on and so forth. And I told the Lord, I said, if you want us here, put us here, but I don't want to be here. If I had a choice, I'd pick someplace a long way from here where it's a little warmer. I was talking to the brother here, but he asked me about playing golf. I haven't played golf in 2 years. You know how hard it is to play golf in snow? I've never tried it, but I've heard it's challenging. And that's what we have most of the time. Or we have very hard fairways. It's not the place I would have picked. When we went to Idaho, we were there for a while, and the Lord put us there. And after 6 years, I said, God, why were we here all that time with all that aggravation and all that money and all that stuff? He says, for you kids. Really? So when God puts you someplace, He wants you there for a reason. You don't want to leave your place. Your place in Christ is very secure. It's very settled. It's very solid. He's with you, you're with Him, and it's very sure. As far as where you are on earth, that's where God can put you where He wants you. But you want to make sure you're where He wants you. But you don't want to mess with that thing that happens in Christ. The devil tries to make you think you don't deserve Christ. He tries to make you think you're too good for this. You ever been in church and had somebody offend you? That's probably never happened here. And you thought, well, I don't have to put up with that. And the Lord says, if you leave here, you leave the place I want you in. Now, we don't think that it matters that much, do we? I've had some issues with the church I had in Manchester. And I said, I don't really need this. I can build houses anywhere. There's plenty of places to work. The Lord said, see you later. Hello? He says, this is where I want you. This is my place for you. You leave here, you leave me. I said, I'm good. Everything's fine. I could actually almost like those people. I'll work at it. You don't think much of that. But that was a nice place they were in. And then they got tossed. The devil moved them and got them out of place. But he also made it so that God's presence wasn't with them. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've learned to enjoy richly and deeply from time to time is simple fellowship with God, with His presence. Now, you can have fellowship with God, talk to Him, and so on and so forth, but every now and then He shows up. Every now and then, He just comes by. And I've been praying, or I've been singing, or I've been reading the Bible, and the Lord just kind of moves in. Didn't say anything, do anything, but I know He's there. Fills me up. I can't talk. I can't say anything. I'm usually crying. But it's wonderful. And I've told that to people. And they look at me like, huh? What's that about? I say, you've never had that experience? You have no idea what you're missing. You know, I heard somebody say one time, and this has some truth to it, that I was saved to serve. Well, you should serve God. He's well worth it. He deserves everything from us. But I use the illustration, I don't know if we use it here or not, but But can you see a couple, they come up here and they get forward and Brother White out there and he marries them and they're, oh yeah, and you're all excited and happy and they go out and throw things at him and so on and so forth and they get in the car and he leans over and puts his arm around her and says, sweetheart, I just can't wait to see how you can serve me. I can see the door pop open, out she goes, see ya. If you think that's why we got married, you aren't paying attention. Aren't we his bride? You think that's all he wants from us, is service? I didn't marry my wife just so she could work for me. I married her so I could be with her, so she'd be with me. We've been together now 45 years. You can pray for her. 45 years. I believe, gentlemen, that our wives get a special presentation at the Great White Throne Judgment. Because I know most of us, amen? I know guys. And boy, when you put up with us for as long as they have, they deserve something. But God's presence was no longer with them. Now, he was around, but he didn't come down in the cool of the day and call him and talk to him. Could you imagine having God do it? Imagine if every afternoon you go out in the backyard and just have a place under the tree there where you knew God was going to come every day. And you knew if you went out there and just waited for him, he'd show up. And you could talk to him and hear his voice. Wouldn't that be over the top? You don't do that now. Why? Look where we are. Look what happened. I mean, if you have a church service and things get going and the Lord shows up, that's a blessing, isn't it? Doesn't happen that much, though, does it? Our minds are usually someplace else. Things aren't working like they should. Problems, issues, etc. His presence is not with us. Now, he's in us. I mean, I've had it. Times when it was one time basically when the Lord filled me up and I was filled for 3 days. That was fascinating. It's over the top. That's when you find out who the new creature is. It ain't you. But God pulls something up out of you and it's amazing. And I told him, I said, listen, you keep me there and you do that and you can put me in any part of this world you want me for as long as you want me there. If you'll be with me like that, anywhere on earth is fine with me. It's an amazing thing. We don't actually get that these days that much because we're not willing to fulfill the purpose that God does that for. We're too taken with too much. Imagine knocking on doors filled with the Holy Ghost. You ever tried that? Just spend enough time getting right and getting close and getting filled before you go visit. Well, that'd be something, wouldn't it? Why don't we do that? Because we don't think it matters as much. We just got to get the work done. How much work are we getting done? Have you looked around and noticed that we're not gaining that much? They lost his power. They parted away from the power of God in their lives. You know what Adam and Eve needed in the garden? Absolutely nothing. They had everything right there. When they left, all right, Adam, here's a plow, here's a hoe, here's a shovel. Get after it, buddy, because if you don't work, you don't eat. Could you see Adam the first few days? Work. What's that? Dig, son, dig. But that's dirt. I'll get dirty. What's this stuff on my head? That's water coming out of my head. What's the deal with that? Don't you know he was a little surprised? Well, you're so smart to think you're going to have things the way you need them. Now you get to prove it. Go ahead. You can make it happen, buddy. Dive right in. That's what we get without the power of God. I like God's power. You got a lot of it. I mean, I get up in the morning and look at the sunshine, amen? That's just one little bit of his power. Now, I don't know if you believe it or not, but they say it's 93 million miles away. And I believe that, okay? I'm not figuring that it's just a short distance and it just, you know, I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. I just can't go with that sort of thing. You know, it's whatever that is. But at 93 million miles, you realize that thing's putting out energy off a sphere? And we get a little bitty slice of that? You talk about power? And that's just one sun. That thing is blowing out power all the time. People say, well, we don't want to waste anything. God wastes power like it's nothing. He just throws it away, man. It doesn't matter a thing. He doesn't care. Like we say, I don't want to waste God's money. Just do right with it. But don't try to figure out how to make sure God's not going to go bankrupt, okay? Because he's not. Any guy that produced gold and silver, want some more? It's not going to go broke tomorrow. We're so scared to death about giving the preacher a raise or doing something around the building, etc. Well, we're going to waste God's money. No, you're not. How do you waste God's money? By not giving it to him. That's how you do it. But opposite of the message, I won't get into that one right now. God's power is infinite. And boy, when you walk away from God's power, you are in some serious trouble. And we have forgotten that that's our business in our churches, is to have the power of God all over us. Well, we won't live accordingly. We won't submit ourselves to him so he can do that. We don't even think it's possible most of the time. We surely don't live like he can do it. We don't live like he does it either. We have learned so well how to do things these days. You've heard it time and again. We don't need God for anything. We just give him lip service about needing him, so that we remind ourselves that he's still here. But half the time in most churches, nobody's getting to the point where they need God for anything. I still think Christians ought to live right out on the edge with one foot over the edge and need God every day for just about everything they do and everything they are. We won't stick ourselves someplace that's impossible for us because we don't have faith and confidence in God. We have to learn to rely more on him than ourselves. In fact, to rely on him totally and ourselves not at all. Because he's proven time and again that's what he wants. The Jews were going to go into they were sitting out there and they sent some guys to look over the land. They just come out of Egypt. Cross the Red Sea on dry land, looking up at a 100-foot wall of water. You ever try to stack water? Doesn't work well. God just piles it up wherever he wants it. Parts it, does what he pleases. Seen God do amazing things for weeks. And then he said, all right, I'm taking the promised land. Go look it over. And so they come back. They say, well, boy, is that place. That'll knock your eyes out. When he says a land flowing of milk and honey, it's like when Jonathan was running through the woods and there's honey on the ground. He just dipped a stick in it. And literally, flowing with milk and honey. That's insane. So, they go in.
Well, yeah, it's a beautiful place, but giants will kill us.
Really? Did God stop being God all of a sudden for some reason? Let's go. Caleb and Joshua, why are we waiting here? We're wasting time. Let's get it, man. It's what we came here for. It's God that's going to make the difference. But they wouldn't go. Why? Because they couldn't see the way through. They wouldn't go in because they couldn't figure out how to get out. They thought they would have something, they would lose something. So God said, okay, tell you what. You get to spend 40 years till you're all dead. Then I'll take your children in that you didn't think I could take good care of. Don't tell me I can't take care of your children. I'll prove I can without you. And that's what he did. It wouldn't have taken God. It wouldn't even have had to strain himself to put them in the promised land then. That's what he intends, folks. That's what he wants. To express his power in the impossible circumstances of our lives. But we will not allow him to place us in those circumstances. Because we don't trust his power. Just like they didn't. The devil talked him out of it. By getting them to want something that was very temporal and unnecessary. And that's what he does today. He gets us wrapped up in the world and all the things of the world. And we think, well, I've got to go to work and I have to take care of this. And I have to buy that. I have to, otherwise, we're not going to make it. Wrong. Wrong and wrong. We won't trust God because we're afraid he won't give us what we want. I raised 4 kids. My wife and I actually did it. She was pretty much there all the time. And you know, those kids didn't learn to trust us for a long time. Took them a while. You always had to kind of encourage them somehow. Well, what if? Stop what if it. We get in the car, they say, where are we going? I used to do this to them. I said, does it matter? You're here with me in the car. Does it matter? Yeah, it does. I want to know where we're going in case I don't want to go there. Or they're just curious. Either way, I didn't tell them. That's kind of how God does it. God, what's this going to prove? What's going to happen here? Don't worry about it. But what if I don't wind up where I want to be? You'll be with me. Does that matter? Aren't you with me? What difference does it make where you go if I'm there? I learned that. They lost God's purpose for them. You know what God planned for the human race? A garden. Look around. Does this look like a garden to you? We have to live in buildings. We have to have central heat and central air. We're pathetic. We have to have vehicles to get around in. We have to go here and there. And we have to, we don't eat off of trees. We don't go out there and tend the flowers. We work. We're hard at it. We're laboring. Don't you get tired after a couple days? I mean, our brother here says he has to drive sometimes 14 hours a day. That's a long time to drive a truck, amen? I know, because I've been there. Except I did it longer, but I didn't get paid for it. But it's a thing. You work and work and work and work. And they let you retire at 65 or 62 or 60 or whenever you think you got enough money and so on and so forth. And then what do? Work. I've had people tell me, I don't know how I had time to work. I got so much to do. We always have more to do. You have to take care of things. I got to paint my church building. I got to paint my house. I got to take care of the garden. I got to take care of the yard. I got to take care of everything, etc. All the time. There's always something else to do. I'm not living in a garden. But that's what God intended. No wars, no battles, no fights. No cold, no heat. No thermostat to worry about. No fuel to dig up. No propane to have. Nothing. You just live. Well, that's boring. Oh, really? What do you think everybody's trying to get to? That was God's purpose. You just spend all day in a garden, and he just shows up, and we have a little fellowship. Play a game or two. Have fun. Have a million kids. Have a blast. No pain. No aggravation. That's his purpose. Don't you know, when the devil talked Eve out of that, she had no idea what she was doing. And when the devil messes with you about doing your thing, your way, your time, and so on and so forth, you have no idea what you're messing with when you get away from God and handle it all yourself and do it your way. Find out his purpose. Let him have his way with you. And I got away from God's perfection. You know, God doesn't make anything cheap. He doesn't do anything halfway. When he does something and makes it, it's perfect. This universe we're in, these bodies we have, the things around us we see, this is the trees, the grass, the simple stuff. It's all interrelated. It's all together. It all works together. They're just finding out now. I mean, they keep looking and searching, they being the people that do research on the human body and issues and diseases and hormones and chemicals and all the other stuff that goes on with us. They keep finding out new things. You know, the coronavirus shows up and they, oh, what is this? Well, how long have we been at this thing? 6,000 years and something new shows up and you don't know what to do with it? Are you serious? You think we'd have it figured out by now. Why do we get surprised? Because we have no idea. I love the people that are against climate change. I said, you think you've got a problem now? Wait till the tribulation shows up. You ain't seen nothing yet, son. You're going to be screaming about how hot it is. Crazy, isn't it? God designed this thing real well, and we have thoroughly messed it up. We being the human race. They don't have any idea, these people talking about the danger of the human being on earth, et cetera, have no idea how badly we've messed it up. But God sustains it. Still working. Still cruising along. One day he's going to come back and fix it. Now, when you want something fixed, you get God to fix it. It's fixed. He's going to make this thing like the Garden of Eden again. And for 1,000 years, no wars. You'll be scared to have an argument you shouldn't have. There won't be anybody lying, because we'll all know the truth and we'll have access to it. He's going to rule this thing with a rod of iron, which means you talk about police. Who needs police? We got God. God knows what's going on over there. He'll just send some folks over there and stomp that and take care of that right now. No problem. And you know what? They're not going to like it. When it wraps up, the devil's loose for a short season and deceives the nations, Gog and Magog, and goes out and gathers them all against the Lord, and there's millions. They're going to try to take over from Jesus Christ and run him off. And you know what? It doesn't say anything after that. It doesn't say, and God did this. Not, no. It just suddenly says, and the heaven and earth passed away, and there was no more sea. Gone. Can't hardly wait. It's going to be quite exciting. I mean, he doesn't fight, doesn't do anything, doesn't stop. It's not like Armageddon comes out of the sky. So just, boom, it's gone. Just blows it up. He'll know how to fix it. Then he'll make a new one. Isn't that weird? A new heaven and a new earth. Really? Who thought about that? I don't hear him talking about that out there. Why don't we look for a new one? It's only going to be 1,000 years away. But you see, all that he has for us is simple. If you stay with him in Christ, it's simple. God's in control. It's not complicated. The world makes it complicated. All the religions, all the people say, well, how can you be right if there's all these religions? Very simple. They're all wrong, and we're right. It's not complicated. Well, it can't be that easy. Yes, it can. You tell somebody, speaking of that, how to get saved. All you got to do is repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. And then what? That's it. Well, I surely have to do right after that. Nope. We want you to. But once you get saved, you're going to heaven. Well, surely I have to do... Nope. Nothing. It can't be that easy. I said it can't be any harder. It's simple. I led a guy to Christ not too long ago because I asked him. We were talking about one thing or another. And I said, has anybody ever told you that eternal life is a free gift? He said, huh? I said, look it up. Romans chapter 4 and 5. It says free gift. Or chapter, yeah, it's in chapter 5. Free gift. Huh? Led him to Christ about a week later. A free gift? Eternal life? I've said that to a couple of guys and had them just stop in their tracks and look at me and say, there's no way. I said, well, I'll prove it to you. It says it right here. And they got saved. Wouldn't you? Right. You've been working all your life, and I want to give you something. What's that, eternal life? No way. Yeah, free. Interested? Absolutely. You see, things with God are simple. The devil comes along and messes with your head, tries to get you to go here, go there, think this, think that, think the other thing, follow this. And what he mostly wants you to do is get you in control of your life and running your thing your way and doing what you think is best for you. That's what Eve did. That's what got us in this mess. Stop that. Don't worry about you. Well, she should have said, you know, it looks good. I bet it tastes good. Sure, I'm not saying you're telling me something that's not true. I believe you. But I'm not going to do it. Because God said no. Okay? Isn't that simple? When our children were little, and you told them no, they said, but, oh, well, no is simple. Two letters. No. But, no. What? No. Stop there. It's simple. And that's the way it works. I would love to see the day, and it won't happen, when the brethren believe that God is right, period, and act on what he says, period, without trying to figure it all out and factor themselves in all the time, just simply rest in him, period, and let him have his way and do what he wants and get things done. Wouldn't you love to have the power of God in this place? All the time? You sure? What would you be willing to expend to have God around here all the time? In evidence, in effect, what would you be willing to give for that? Most of the time, you don't even think it's possible. Because you've gotten away from the simplicity that's in Christ into some more complex procedure and system that you think has to be to accomplish his purposes. The devil's messed with us thoroughly. We're at the end of this thing and it has gone downhill rapidly. And it's because we've drifted away from who Christ is and what he is, what he wants. And our relationship with him is not as it should be. You're still going to heaven. But it's gotten more complicated than it should be. Because you've been messed with. Would to God you could get that fixed. That would be a blessing, somehow. The simplicity that's in Christ is a wonderful thing. And if you could ever get to it, you'd be excited. It would be joyous. It would be wondrous. And it would be what God wants. Because it's pretty simple. Christianity is not complicated. We make it that way in various things, but it's not complicated. Just lose you. Let Jesus Christ have all he wants. It's not about us. It's all about him. If you could get there and stay there, you'd be a happier bunch of folks, and you see God do more things. Just get where He is and stay there. Keep it simple. It's not supposed to be complicated. Father, we thank You for these things. It's good to